is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Alan Phillips. His new book, The Red Hotel, Moscow, 1941, The Metropole Hotel, and the Untold Story of Stalin's Propaganda War. We begin, however, with the correspondents who spent their time at the Metropole Hotel trying to tell a story that was forbidden, generally speaking, by the Soviet regime. The Soviet regime wanted its story told every day, no matter how many times it was repeated. And the correspondents from the Times of London, from the New York Times, all were struggling with the censor, struggling with the wartime conditions in Moscow, struggling with the assignments that they had from back home via the telegraph, and were remarkably successful, not only because they represented amazing enterprise and institutions in London, in New York, around the world, but also because of the Russian women who served as their secretaries and survived in most instances because of their relationship to the better food at the Metropole. Moscow is starving. Soviet Union has been starving for years, one of the stories that the Soviets don't want told. I welcome Alan and congratulate him, and we begin with one of his heroines. Her name is Charlotte Haldane, and of significance, Charlotte, when she arrives in the Soviet Union in 1941, is a communist and has been a communist promoter for many years. Alan, wonderful to welcome you, and thank you very much. Charlotte Haldane, married to the very famous scientist J.B.S. Haldane. She was a communist. What did that mean in the 1930s when she was promoting the Soviet paradise? Or what did that mean when she talked her way into being a correspondent in Moscow? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's a treat to be with you. Well, Charlotte had worked for newspapers, when she married J.B.S. Haldane, the famous scientist, she took a break from daily newspaper work and focused on popularizing his many discoveries in statistics, biology, you name it. He was a very brilliant man. Towards the end of the 30s, she devoted herself to drumming up money and recruits to fight on the Republican side in the Spanish Civil War. She was a very prominent figure. She accompanied Paul Robeson and interpreted for him when he went on to view the troops on the front line, unfortunately, just before the collapse of the Republican front. So she was well known. She was one of the most prominent women members of the Communist Party. When Hitler invaded the Soviet Union, she saw an opportunity to rekindle her journalistic career, which she'd put on hold. And she went round the newspapers, but she heard that one newspaper, the Daily Sketch, had not appointed someone they would like to send to Russia. Of course, not everyone who wanted to go to Russia was able to. The pipeline of journalists to Russia was very much under the control of the Soviet Union, particularly the Soviet ambassador in London. Anyway, the Sketch had not appointed someone. So she went to see the editor and said, you have to appoint me because I'm a communist. Stalin will love me. He will give the first interview to a British journalist to me because he trusts me. And I will provide you with sparkling copy of the heroic exploits of the Red Army fighting the Germans. And the editor said, fine. He said, you have to realize that the publisher is an inveterate Bolshevik beta, but I can bring him round to this. She was quickly approved by the Soviet Union and got on a troop ship going to the Arctic in northern Russia. She was full of enthusiasm about what she was going to tell the world about the Soviet Union as really the future of mankind.
They called her on the troop ship. I believe it was there, the babushka of the British Revolution.
So that's right.
There was There was romance around Charlotte all the time because she was so popular and at the same time, I don't want to say notorious, but there were some doubts about her loyalty to Britain. Was that true at the time or was that ignored?
Well, I think on the ship going to Murmansk in northern Russia, there were 500 flyers and technicians from the Royal Air Force, but also quite a lot of Poles, exiled Poles, who were going back because Stalin, who had been Hitler's associate in eradicating Poland from the map, had to do a swift U-turn. He changed tack and then proclaimed that he was in favor of restoring an independent Poland. So a number of Polish diplomats and soldiers were on this troop ship, all worried to a certain extent that they were going to be betrayed by Stalin. They thought they might be put in jail. They thought they might be exiled to Kazakhstan. And they basically were wound up the wrong way by Charlotte, who said, "No, Russia is the light of the universe. Don't worry. Stop your petty bourgeois thoughts and join me in supporting Stalin and his role in creating peace and prosperity in Europe." Quite a lot of the Poles like to avoid her. And indeed, there were some angry words. She and a Polish artist had to be separated by a diplomat.
Yes, you have a picture of Charlotte. She looks like she can handle herself. She arrives in Moscow, and now we come to the Red Hotel because Charlotte takes residence up. She gets £20 a week plus expenses for the daily sketch. The Metropole Hotel is still there. You say that they're renovating it, but it remains a landmark of these events. What does Charlotte make of the hotel's condition? That ball, the restaurant, the big ballroom restaurant, and her rooms. You make the plumbing sound iffy.
Yes, the Metropole Hotel, which is the Red Hotel of the title, the Metropole Hotel was built in 1905, and at that time it was the most stylish hotel in Moscow. It was the place where rich merchants, Tsarist officers, would entertain ballerinas from the Bolshoi Theatre, literally just across the square. It was a place where money was flaunted. Obviously, that didn't last after 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution, when actually it was taken over by Lenin, Stalin, Trotsky, and the other Bolsheviks because they had nowhere to live and no offices because the capital had just been moved from St. Petersburg. So it became a billet and a working space for the Bolsheviks. By 1941, it was still grand, but very much down at heel. All the velvet curtains were faded. Furniture was creaking and falling apart. And you were lucky if you summoned a waiter, they might take a couple of hours to arrive. But still, food was better there than in the rest of Moscow, because basically Moscow was starving. The whole country was starving. Except for people who had jobs in the arms industry, they were well fed. The rest of the Soviet population really lived on a few slices of black bread a day.
The Germans cross the frontier and invade in June of 1941. Charlotte arrives in the summer, July of 1941, is my note here. And it's now late November, early December, and the guns can be heard of the German army approaching Moscow. The tour that they've been given of a front line operation said to be a counteroffensive disappointed all of them because they ate too well, seeing how people were starving around them. And Charlotte and others have to make a decision whether they're going to stay in Moscow or not, or leave. Charlotte, however, wants to stay. Why? What compelled her? Did she believe that the Soviets were going to stand up to the offensive? Everybody but Stalin seems to have left at that moment.
It's fair to say that there was chaos. It was a rare example at that time in October 1941, when the secret police lost control of the city. Suddenly, people in the trams, the streetcars and the buses, they started talking openly about how they were going to escape, how they were going to flee. Charlotte had been in lots of war zones in China and in Spain. She just wanted someone to stand up and say, give a Churchillian speech, and basically say, "We're going to fight them at the on the borders of Moscow. We're going to drive them back." Instead, there was terrible silence. She found that quite disturbing because no one seemed to be in charge. And to be fair, Stalin had lost his nerve. He'd always hoped that the invasion would take place 2 or 3 years after it did, by which time he'd be better prepared anyway. So no one was in charge. There was looting. There was Jewish people were harassed, beaten up, because that's what happens in Russia. But the word came back from the Kremlin that all the foreign community, all the diplomats and all the journalists were going to be evacuated about 500 miles away to the Volga. She said, okay, well, if that's what we have to do, that's what we have to do. There were some American journalists who, of course, at that time were still neutrals. This was before Pearl Harbor. Thought, the fall of Moscow, that would be some story to cover. They weren't allowed to. They were told to get on a train and decamp to the banks of the Volga.
We need to go to another star in the Metropole Hotel right now, who's being pursued by the British ambassador to leave Moscow, and she doesn't want to. She wants to stay. Her name is Alice Motes. She's a debutante. She's one of the heroines of the new book, The Red Hotel, The Metropole Hotel and the Untold Story of Stalin's Propaganda War by Alan Phillips. I'm John Batchelor.